Okay. Is this on? It is on. Great. Brilliant. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Matt. I'm part of the staff team here. It's wonderful to be with you this afternoon. You know, this passage, isn't this a great passage to read and to just get into? I'm so privileged just to be sharing on this. And when I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, this must be some of like the most famous words written about Jesus. Like, I guess if you ask somebody who didn't know very much about Jesus, they might have they might say, yeah, I know about that walking on the water, and I know about the feeding of the 5,000. So it's really great to be able to talk about it. And we're in John, and we've been in John since September, and we've kind of dipped in and out a little bit. So when we got to Christmas, we came out, and then when we got to our vision and giving, we dipped out as well. And so we've been doing it since September, but we're only on John 6. But, you know, we're getting there, aren't we? And Ed started our preach off in September, and he used this analogy of what John was like. Can anyone remember what he said John was like? This is testing a few memories if we were in September. Does anyone remember? Like a house or a mansion? Yeah, we're getting there. Like a big stately home, a big house. And he said on that day that he was like in the driveway. He was at the driveway, and there were many different rooms that were going to be looked in, but for now, that's where he was. Now, I want to tell you that I think where we are this week is we're going into the kitchen. Come on. Come on. We're going into the kitchen. And you know, in the kitchen, there is food that will greatly satisfy you. You know, there is something there that you may not have found in your fridge at home. Come on, that's good. There's something different for you here. There's something good. And the next few weeks, it's not just this passage, but the next few weeks, I think you're going to find something that fully satisfies you, takes you deeper with God. And that's what I think we're looking at here. So I'm excited to be sharing with you. And when we're looking at this passage, you know, John is such a brilliant writer. Such a brilliant writer. And he's writing and he's mirroring Jesus, and he's kind of giving a wink and a nod to somebody who's come before. And that person is Moses. So, you know, we have this where Moses took the children of Israel out of Egypt into the desert, and they needed food to eat. And what happens is food is provided from heaven, and they have manna fresh for each day. And it's a bit like this here, except the food isn't coming from heaven, but it's a God that came from heaven to earth and then provided on earth. And then later on, as Peter read for us, you know, the children of Israel, they walked through the sea, but Jesus walks on the sea. Jesus walks on the sea. So he's mirroring this, this great guy, this amazing person, Moses. But if you notice, Jesus is better. Jesus does it better than Moses does. Jesus does it way better. In fact, Moses was trusting in God and relying on God. But Jesus was God and defies physics and the way things have been done before. Like, this is totally, if you were there, wow, we've never seen this small amount of food end up so big for so many people. We've never seen that. We've never seen anybody walk on water. It's not something that happens in my day-to-day. It might be something that happens in yours. But Jesus is doing amazing things. And we find out that Jesus can do anything. Jesus can do anything in our lives today. He can do anything in this passage. But I'm kind of left thinking, like, why does Jesus do things a particular way? Why does he do it like that? I don't really understand. So verse 5, it says, when Jesus looked up and saw the great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Verse 6 says, he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Okay, and so when I think about the Bible, when I'm reading the Bible, sometimes I really like to picture it in my mind. I really like to imagine it and for it to come to life. And so I sometimes think as if it's like a movie, and like I'm literally playing it out in my head. And verse 5 is this, you know, that's what's happening in the movie. But verse 6 is like the director's notes. It's like the cut. So, for example, Jesus doesn't go, I already know what I'm going to do, but I'm testing him. And so that's why I'm not telling him. So that doesn't happen, does it? You know, this is a note from John. It's like, just so you know, Jesus already knows, but he's testing him. So, and I find it fascinating. I'm like, but why, Jesus? Why are you choosing to test him? Why are you doing it like that? Why, if you were Jesus, would you even bother? You know, if I was Jesus, and I mean, it's a good job I'm not, isn't it? But if I was Jesus, like, wouldn't you have at least had the crowd somewhere just outside of the city? So that when they needed food, you could just say, guys, we're going to have a 10-minute break. You know, go and grab your food, and we'll come back, and we'll start again. Or wouldn't he, if he could provide all this food anyway, he could have, like, not maybe, like, made packed lunches for everyone, because that's really silly, but he could have, like, had the food ready beforehand, because it says that the people got hungry. Like, why did the people need to get hungry before Jesus provided the food? And why did he even have to ask Philip what he was going to do? I don't know if you know this song, but there's a song by Beverly Knight called Shudder, Cudder, Wudder. Does anyone remember that song? Anyone know it? Come on, we know it. And all week I've had this song stuck in my head. Shouldn't he have done this or couldn't he have done that? And that's not how the Beverly Knight song goes. She's not talking. No, well, do you know what? I've been practicing all week, but I'm not going to sing it for you now. But you know, why does Jesus do things this way is a question that I've been asking all week, and I'm not sure you're going to get the answer, but you know, we're going to try our best, aren't we? We're going to try our best today. And I actually have a bit of a demonstration. Now, I need two people for this demonstration. And you know, this morning, Rebecca ruined my demonstration. Like, if you were here, you'll have found out that it got ruined. But I need two people's help. So have we got any volunteers for us? Rebecca, you're not getting asked. There's no way. I'm going to have to be desperate, Rebecca, to ask you again. I'm so sorry. Simon, come on. Ellie, great. Amazing. And because Rebecca ruined it, you know, we're going to change it up a little bit. And so if you were here this morning, it might look a little bit different. But Simon, could you get this for us? And we have some, like, massive Jenga blocks here. And what you need to do is a bit of a game. And you have to get the Jenga block into the basket really easy. But you can only use your thumb. Show us your thumb. Hey, big thumbs up. Okay, so you can only use your thumb, one thumb, not two thumbs. That's too happy. One thumb, okay? So there's going to be a timer. You guys are looking, like, giving each other, like, little. And the first one to do it wins. But, I mean, you can do it however. How are you on? Right, so we're going to have a timer on the screen. You've got 1 minute. If you can't do it in a minute, you know, we'll try something else and we'll see how we go. Oh, here we go. Your timer's already up. Come on, it's already going. So thumb. Oh, you can't move. You can't. Right, hang on. Did I say you could move the basket? I didn't. Right, let me tell you. You can't move the basket, all right? Right, I can't believe this. Flipping it twice in a row. I'm not, right, that's it. This is my last preach to you. I'm not doing this again, right? This is it. Oh, I'm sick of this, tell you what. Okay, you can't move the basket. You can't tip the table up. You can't stand on the roof. I don't know what you want me to say. You can't do it. You got one thumb, this into here. Right, do we understand? Come on. Right. Should we get the timer going again? Right, oh, that win, wow. See, that's how furious it's getting. Oh, here we go. So you can't use the rest of your hands. Oh. Simon, don't do this to me. Come on. Okay, you got 30 seconds. How did it get over that? I turned around and suddenly. Oh my goodness. Right, Simon, I was looking at the timer. Where, what happened?
I pulled over and flicked it in.
Man. Do you know what? Twice in the, that's the third time that my demonstration's been ruined, man. That's the third time. I'm not, you know, the last 3 weeks, right, Jude and Ed have had all these smart clips. We've had batons, we've had running down the middle, we've had all these things, and I've been like, oh, man, I need to come up with something really smart. And you know what? I haven't done a good job. So what was meant to happen is after a minute, they weren't meant to be able to do it, but, you know, it's already happened twice, and Rebecca did it this morning. So what was meant to happen is we were meant to show that working together, working by ourselves, that we can't do it. Even though we didn't. But working together, we can do it. So Ellie, you were giving like the eye before, like a little, what were you thinking about doing? So should we have a go at that? And should we just, we do it, we'll have a timer. Tell you what, so. Oh, so you need your block though, Simon. So if you both. Oh, here we go. Oh, okay, brilliant. And let it be known, this is the last demonstration you'll see from me. Great, guys, thank you so much for giving them a round of applause. You got it. Okay. Got a bit all carried away, didn't we? Got a bit carried away. But together, together, it was at least easier, wasn't it? So it only took like 10 seconds rather than 30 seconds, that's what I'm going on here. But it was easier, wasn't it, when they were doing it together? And it was almost like there was like a whole other dimension to how they were doing it. So with one thumb, it's really difficult, but with two thumbs, it's like there's a whole other part that's been opened up. And I think this is what Jesus, we are in church, you know, back to that. You know, I think this is what Jesus is showing us here, that what we see in the natural is one thing. But when we partner with him, you know, the supernatural is possible. So when we read this, we sometimes think that the disciples are being really negative. Like, oh, but we've only got this. Or, you know, it would take half a year's wages to do this. Sometimes we think they're being like, why do you have to put a downer on it, man? Like, this is Jesus. He can do anything. And we know that. But actually, I don't think they are being negative. I think they're just stating the facts. You know, it would take half a year's wages to do this. And then the other disciples, but this is what we have. This is what we have. And they bring it to Jesus. But I think it's an invitation for us to partner with Jesus. So this God who can do anything is actually desperate to partner with us. And so, I don't know if you remember, but the first week of this year, Jude was talking about how God had given him a word last Christmas over the break, and he'd given him a word this Christmas over the break, and the word was with, this funny word that we use all the time. We use so much with, but and we don't think it has much of a consequence, but actually I think it's really important. And I want you to know that Jesus wants to partner with you. I like this little dictionary definition. A nice steak with a bottle of red wine. That sounds good, doesn't it? No, one is good by themselves, but together they're really good. They're really good. Jesus wants to partner with us. He is in control the whole time. It says that. That's what John says. He was in control the whole time. And some of you have heard me say this word before, but for about a year, I've had this phrase running through my head. And the phrase is that he is in control and he is over all. He is in control and he is over all. I don't know what your week has looked like, but I have not had an easy week this week. It's been a hard week. It's been a difficult week. And in my head, I've just been going, you know, he is in control. He is over all. It's like a phrase that I keep repeating to remind myself that Jesus is with me. And even though the natural looks one way, you know, he has another side and he has a supernatural and he wants to partner with us. What a privilege for us to do that. What a privilege. when I was 21. I spent about 3 years looking for a job. I spent 3 years not being able to find a job. In 2008, it was like the big recession, and like all jobs were cut, and people who had had jobs for like 30 years were like struggling to find jobs and looking for new jobs. And here was me straight out of school looking for my first job. And I knew that God had put amazing plans and given me like, you know, gifts and talents that were specifically for me. I'd grown up in a Christian house and been told this all the time, you know, you can achieve, you can do this, God is with you. And all this, I was like, man, I know, but after 3 years, you know, I felt a bit disillusioned and I felt depressed and I felt like I was just really struggling in that time. And I was with Becky at the time and we'd been dating for 4 years. And we were at a point when we were like, you know, we've been dating for 4 years. We probably don't want to date for another 4 years. It's time to like start making some decisions for our life to move forward. But you know what? It wasn't possible because I can't afford lunch, let alone a wedding. You know, I can't afford a house, let alone anything else. And I remember Becky saying to me, you know, Matt, I don't know if this is much of a help to you, but I just believe that God wants you to take the first step. You know, I've got this word from God, and he wants you to take the first step. And you know, at the time, I remember thinking, you're right, Becky, it doesn't really help me that much. Like, that's a nice word, but I'm like, I'm not sure. I'm like, what am I meant to do with that? Like, literally, what am I meant to do? Like, I'm happy to take that first step, but what is that first step? And a few weeks later, some people came up to me, and some people around in my church leader at the time, and a few different people were telling me about this degree program that they were starting in Liverpool for a theology degree. And I was like, I don't know if I've ever thought about doing a theology. What is theology? I mean, that was the first question. You know, what am I? Is this what God has for my life, or isn't it? And I remembered what Becky said, and I remembered, you know, just take the first step. And so I trusted God in that, and so I remember having the form, and I remember it. Like, we've all filled out forms before, haven't we? It's not a special thing. It's the most boring thing. But I remember it being, like, a poignant thing. Like, that was the step of faith. Like, what qualifications I had, all these things, they were that was the thing. That was the step of faith. And so I don't know what it looks like for you. It's going to be different than what it looks like for me. But there's a step of faith to take this week, to take today. What is it in your life that you're not happy about, that you're really fed up with? You know, he is in control and he is over all. And he wants to partner with you in that. Sometimes we leave God out of it thinking he doesn't want to deal with our sufferings and our bad stuff. But he does. He cares about that just as much, if not more. He really, really wants to be involved in that stuff. And so I'm going to invite the band up. And we're going to sit and we're just going to think about what that looks like for our lives. What can I bring to Jesus that he can move supernaturally with? What can I bring to Jesus? It's not about pulling like a rabbit out of a hat. It's not about us doing the work. You know, Jesus wants to partner with us, but he wants you to offer your natural for the supernatural to move. It could be your family, your health, your friends, somebody else's health close to you, the situation you want to see change. God wants to partner with you in that. So we've got a couple of minutes. And why don't we just close our eyes? You know, sometimes it helps us focus. Use this song here as a time of reflection. So if you want to stand, stand. If you want to stay sitting, stay sitting. You know, respond however you feel right. You know, the standing might be the step of faith. The staying sat down might be the step of faith. And just trusting God in that thing.
To you, and I won't be overwhelmed. give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, and you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do.